Welcome, Rundown Nation. Kyle Wall back with you here. We got Mr. Story. I know the fans are happy about that, but we also have another surprise for you this week. We got Mr. Josh Harlow sitting on the podcast here to give us his knowledge as far as college football. Real excited for it. How you doing, Josh?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Mr. Story, he's here again. I know that people like to hear about everything college football from him. The man doesn't lose very often on his pick'em, but I hate to foreshadow it, Mr.
Jumping,
Story.
Jumping right in, Wall. Huh? Just jumping right into that. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Well, our record is still, I would say, exceptional. But yeah, we did take a loss this week. I'll tell you what, Wall, I think it was a very smart move on your part bringing in Josh this week, because we got two games on right now. We got Missouri State and Middle Tennessee State, and we got Liberty and UTEP going on right now. So my attention is a little distracted. I got eyes on these out of the corner of my eye.
Absolutely. And it is Wednesday night. We're recording. Middle Tennessee State is up 3-0. According to my scoreboard, it's on a commercial right now, so I can't confirm that for sure. You got those games going in the background, Josh?
No, I don't. I should. I just got off the Cubs game, so I know Story is a huge Cubs fan, so I'm sure he was really concerned about the end of the game wrapping up.
I'm all in on college football at this point.
I don't blame you, buddy.
I was happy with the Cubbies. I'm glad they got it done, that 4-3 win. We'll see how they do throughout the rest of the series. But let's jump into some college football. Real excited for it. Last week, a lot of poll, a lot of market reshuffle. I mean, post week six, we got some crazy stuff going on. We got Penn State and Texas both out of the top 25 after their upset losses. Miami rose on the strength of a rivalry road win. Markets nudge Ohio State to the clear number one, you know, looking like the best team in the nation. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that. Josh, what was the most impressive thing or least impressive thing you saw from last week?
Least impressive, Penn State, man. I mean, UCLA was the only team, the only FBS team to not hold a lead all year until last week. I mean, I know the UCLA team maybe got a bit of a bump with the new OC, Jerry Neuheisel, but you can't lose that game, man. I mean, that was the least impressive thing I saw.
Yeah, this was rough all around for Penn State. You look at Drew Allar, he was hanging in there with Heisman odds, but this team in general was kind of flat coming into the game. 19 for 26, 200 yards, two touchdowns. He did have an additional 78 yards on the ground, but I think you got to give credit to UCLA. Nico Imaliava, who's been through some rough stuff in this offseason, he put it together on the ground, 128 yards. That's just wild. And I'm really happy to see that Kwazi Gilmer stepped up in this game. He's going to make somebody very happy. I don't think he's sticking around this program. But, yeah, Penn State, their odds to even make the playoffs, let alone the national championship, cratered after losing outright to a 24.5-point underdog. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, Wall, but I don't think Penn State's in the top 25 AP anymore, are they?
No, they better not be. If Texas got booted out, you know, if Penn State better not be in there either. They're one of the two teams I mentioned there at the beginning, so they don't deserve to be in there. We all can agree on that. I think one of the worst games from James Franklin since he got to the program. A lot of people probably forget the great job he did coming into that program, getting them through all the problems they had with their previous coaching staff. I don't want to go into on the podcast because, you know, it's really disturbing stuff. It's stuff that has no place in college football. But he took that town, he took that football team, he made them a great team. But he might have outstayed his welcome there because he's just not getting things done lately, especially that 42-37 loss. And I think everybody in the nation is in agreement with Josh. That was the most crazy thing we saw last week. Not so crazy, but still crazy in itself. Texas does lose to Florida. Florida goes up top 29-21 over the Longhorns.
Yeah, another kind of stunner in this one. Florida had been, you know, they were 1-3 coming in, and this was, depending on when you got it, 4.5 to even a 6-point spread. But Arch Manning, another flat game, looked bad, two interceptions. And I don't know that run game is it this year. Arch Manning was scrambling for his life. That offensive line is not either holding up in pass protection. They're not creating holes. Arch Manning scrambled for 15 rushes and 37 yards. It was just a rough going all around. I think the total closed around 42.5, and I believe it snuck over a little bit. So the total moved against what the public was betting, and that was Texas and the under. So you have to figure that Texas takes a hit in the SEC race going forward.
Yeah, guys, I got to interject real quick. I apologize to Quinn Ewers personally. Arch Manning might be the most overhyped prospect I can remember, and that's not necessarily his fault. Actually, I don't think it's his fault at all. But he's struggling, to be kind. I hope he turns it around. I'm an Arch Manning fan, but it hasn't started out great this year.
Yeah, it's been rough. And from a Florida standpoint, you have to figure that they're going to start getting some attention now, at least from the odds makers. Also, if you're in playing Dynasty College Fantasy Football, go and scoop up, if he's not already on a roster, Dallas Wilson. He made his debut. He's a wide receiver for Florida. The guy is 6'3", 213 pounds, true freshman. He popped off on his first game, six receptions, 111 yards, and two touchdowns. I'm excited to see what he does the rest of the season.
Where does Texas go from here? Because their schedule is only going to get tougher. They got Oklahoma, they got games against Vanderbilt, Georgia, Texas A&M. I mean, I'm wondering where they're going to find wins.
Well, as the resident Texas fan here, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm a huge Texas fan, you know that, but I try not to talk because I'm gonna get too angry in this podcast. And then we're gonna lose 100 listeners because I'm so angry about that loss to Florida. But I mean, they gotta win this one this week. There's no question about it. And we're gonna get to talk about that game for sure. The Texas Longhorns are the favorites in that one. I mean, I don't know where they go from here. They really need to win this week. If they don't win this week, the season is essentially over. So I'd like to wait. I'll answer that question maybe next week after we've beaten the Sooners. Jump to the next game from last week. Miami, Florida State. Miami does take down Florida State 28 to 22. Not a huge surprise. This was a really good game for me. People were betting Florida State for some reason, kept taking my action on it over their own Kelsey. So I was real happy with this game. Put a lot of money back in my pocket. I'm not a big Miami fan. I think you know that, Mr. Story, but how were you? Were you impressed by the way Miami played this football game?
I was certainly impressed with Carson Beck. He was extremely efficient through the air, 20 for 27, only 241 yards, but four touchdowns, only taking one sack on the day. The running game wasn't as explosive as I was expecting. So I don't know if they lean on Carson Beck going forward. It kind of stinks for Oregon. They moved down a spot, even though they weren't playing last week. It always sucks when that happens. But yeah, the passing game looked outstanding for Miami. On the other side, Castellanos. On the not efficient, 25 for 45, two touchdowns, but two interceptions. He did rush a lot on the ground, not getting much, only 3.6 yards per carry. For a quarterback, I guess that's okay. You're going to take a lot of sacks. But yeah, I don't know what the public was drinking on this Florida State 3.5 point line.
Yeah, you mentioned it, Mikey. Carson Beck, four touchdown passes. He had two to Malachi Toney, two more to CJ Daniels. I like Malachi Toney quite a bit. It was kind of interesting for me to take this game in. I've been a pretty big Castellanos fan so far. I thought he's played very, very well, especially week one with their big win. But you hit on it. Two critical interceptions. You can't turn the ball over. You can't turn the ball over against really good teams and expect to win.
No, this is literally shooting yourself in the foot here when it comes to Florida State. You had the opportunity, certainly. I guess one more that I want to mention, while I'm surprised you didn't have it on there, but it was a really quite an impressive under the radar performance from Cincinnati, 38-30 win over Iowa State, who came into the day ranked 14th in the nation. I'm really surprised that wasn't the headline for this podcast.
Yeah, Iowa State, they didn't play a great football game. I was watching that one, and I know, you know, I hate Iowa State, so I don't want to get too emotional about the game, but I was real excited to see Cincinnati win it. I mean, Beck, he didn't do bad. He was 30 for 48, 314 yards passing. You get over that 300, north of that 300 yard passing mark. It's usually good for any quarterback in the nation. Two touchdowns. So he played a decent game. He's the one that usually keeps him on his shoulders, but he just couldn't get him at the end. Cincinnati had too big of a lead going into it come the fourth quarter, and they couldn't come up and catch up with that Cincinnati football team, Iowa State, that is. So I'm happy Iowa State lost that one. I'm not that surprised about it, to be honest with you, though. I did have a little bit of money on Cincinnati, was really balanced on that game throughout.
Yeah, fair. And Brendan Sorsby on Cincinnati, he looked very impressive in that game. He's starting to show some real consistency. So the odds for Cincinnati to win the Big 12 have shortened a little bit, and I don't think that Cincinnati's sneaking up on anybody anymore at 4-1.
No, and they're gonna have to be whoever plays Cincinnati is gonna have to be ready to stop prior to the running back over there for Cincinnati. He was carrying the football well, 105 yards, north of 100 yards, two touchdowns. They're just, you know, they're beating Iowa State on the ground and in the air, which always helps a football team when you can stay balanced. Jump into the next segment here. I know, Josh, I'm glad you're on this program because you'd mentioned something when we were doing a little talk beforehand before we started this podcast recording. You mentioned Georgia and some injuries they might have over there. I believe it was on the offensive line, no?
Yeah, you're right. Both offensive tackles for Georgia are dinged up. Monroe Freeling and Ernest Green III. They're hoping that one of them can play versus Auburn. I think Georgia right now is a 3.5 point favorite, but that definitely is worth monitoring this week.
Now, I have to assume, Josh, that the odds on that are already baked in on those two offensive linemen missing. Unless things change, I would expect it would probably stick around that 3.5, maybe 4 number, but definitely worth watching. In the same conference, you got to keep an eye out in the Oklahoma Texas game. Oklahoma is visiting Texas, and we'll get into that game. But just bear in mind, John Mateer is pushing to come back. He was the Heisman front runner before his injury to the thumb on his throwing hand. And if he comes back, I don't know what we're looking at a stark difference, because Michael Hawkins looked okay, in serviceable, but he's certainly not the type of player that John Mateer is.
Absolutely. And I'm excited to get into that game. We got that on the list for sure, because you know that's one of the big games of the week. But over here in Big Ten country, we got a huge one. We got Ohio State at Illinois coming into the season now. Did you think that I would be saying we got a huge game between Ohio State and Illinois? If you did, I God love you, because that was just crazy thinking at the beginning of the season. But it's what we have. Ohio State in this football game, -14.5, -15.5. You're probably not going to get it under that 2 touchdown mark, but you can shop around, get a little bit better of a number on that one. Josh, in this one, do you have a pick? Do you have anything you're looking at? Anything you like in this game?
I mean, it depends on which Illinois team is going to show up, right? They've played well for the most part, but they just got boat raced earlier in the year at Indiana. So if I had a small lean, it'd be Ohio State to cover.
Yeah, this one, what a series of events. What a whiplash few weeks it's been for Illinois fans. This one, I didn't think that I would bet if you looked ahead at this game 2 weeks ago, after Illinois, like you said, got boat raced, got actually smacked by Indiana, it would not be at 14.5 or 15 where it is now. And with Ohio State's defense, one of the best in the nation, they don't give up a lot of explosive plays. Their defense is elite up top. You can chip away underneath, though, and in the flats. And Illinois' short passing game, the screen game, could create some tempo and help them hang around a little bit. So that 14.5 number is a tough nut to crack. I'm probably going to lay off of it and then hope that Illinois can at least hang in this game for most of it.
I hope the same thing too. I'm not a huge Illinois fan, but being from Illinois, I like to cheer them on. I like to go with my comrades over there, because I know all my buddies are cheering on the Illini in this football game, except for one. We have one degenerate that likes Ohio State. I don't know. Don't ask me where that came from, but he does. He likes the Buckeyes, so he'll be cheering for them. We got a total in this game of 49.5. Remember, here in Illinois, in college football, we cannot bet on Illinois sports teams if you're doing it through the sports books. If you're doing it through the exchange, hey, feel free. Go over there. Bet on Illinois, or if you want to take Josh's side, take Ohio State to cover that 2 touchdown mark. I kind of like the way Josh is thinking, though. I will probably, if I'm going to make that bet, wait and hope that Illinois at home can maybe get a score real quick and get that number under 14. That's how I would play it as far as the betting angle. But I like what Josh had to say there. We're going to jump into another game here, SEC football game. I don't know if this is more your style, Mr. Harlow, but we got Alabama at Missouri in the SEC, number 8 Alabama, number 14 Missouri. We got a much closer spread in this one, -3 to -3.5. But again, you're not going to likely get it under that key number of a field goal for Bama. Total in this one, 51 to 53. What are you thinking, Mr. Harlow?
This is a tough one for me. I've watched more Alabama than I have Mizzou this year. I know obviously Alabama got off to the slow start, but they've been really coming on lately. Anytime you go on the road, it's tough. This line is probably right where it should be to me. If I had to be forced to pick, I would probably pick Alabama.
I'm very interested in this game for a number of reasons. It looks like Alabama has kind of marked their ticket for their chance to get into the college football playoffs here. But also Missouri is they've been built around a really efficient passing game, and especially the run game. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago with Jamal Roberts, and especially Ahmad Hardy. What I consider him to be the best running back in college football right now. They want to keep the ball on the ground. They also want to kind of spread it out a little bit, quick slants and crossers. Bo Pierpol has been very efficient this year, and Alabama's defense has kind of taken a bit of a step back. They thrive on collapsing those kind of windows. So if they can make that happen, and the tight secondary give up a big shot or two, then Missouri certainly can cover this total. I'm very interested to watch this game, however.
You know, one thing I will push back on you, that is that defense. I don't think they've given up anything. I thought they were fantastic against Georgia. Against Vanderbilt, they played, you know, a decent football game. Vanderbilt is a good football team this year. I don't care what anyone says. They deserve their ranking. And that was a good football game to watch last week for anybody that was watching it. As far as this game, Alabama and Missouri goes, it's surprisingly, I didn't expect this, but as soon as I turned on my, you know, market making algorithms over here, people started betting Alabama. I got so many bets against Alabama against me now. I got Alabama minus 3.5, minus 4.5, minus 5.5, minus 6.5. So just people kept hammering. It was the first bet against me, and now it's I just got another alert. I just got another bet against. So I don't know why these people are betting on Alabama in this one. I don't see anything that says, hey, they're definitely going to win this by more than a field goal. But I also don't see anything that says, hey, they're going to lose this football game. So maybe it's the public coming in just thinking, you know what? Alabama's got that 8 next to their team name. Missouri's got that 14 next to their team name. Let's take Alabama. Could that be the thinking, Mr. Story?
It very well could be. I mean, you're looking at this game at a field goal or maybe 3.5, 2.5, might be bouncing around a little bit. Basically, if you're thinking about it, it's in Mizzou, so this is basically a coin flip when you break it down. A true coin flip between two top 15 teams. I really think a pace is going to really dictate this game. If Mizzou can keep this game slow and grind it out, I think that under has some value. I don't know, this line feels very efficient to me. I'm not sure. There's probably a lot of money coming in on both the teams and the totals in this one. So I'm being interested to keep an eye on it throughout the rest of the week and see how it unfolds, but I'm probably laying off of it as of right now. I will say though, it's good that Alabama got Jam Miller back in the fold full force. He had a ton of carries last week and looked very efficient doing it. So the ground game for Alabama is also trending in the right direction.
Hey, there you go. Ground game trending in the right direction. That is good for a football team, in my opinion. Defense, ground game. That's what wins football games. Story and I will argue to the death about that one. He likes when they go over the top. I don't so much. We might see some people going over the top in this next game. We got number 7, Indiana at number 3, Oregon. The Ducks at home in this one. Ooh, gotta love it. I know we got some Ducks fans listening to this podcast. If you want the Ducks, though, you do have to lay more than a touchdown. -7.5 to -8.5. And we're looking at a total around 55 to 56. Are you a Ducks fan, Mr. Harlow? You didn't tell us what your team is, who you rep.
Did I not mention
No.
that? Did I not
No.
mention that coming in, Wall? Because
Who is
I'll
it?
let Josh, I'll kick this one to Josh right off the bat.
Who's yours? That's all I gotta
Oh.
say. All I gotta say.
I honestly didn't know that, buddy. Hey, let us know. Let us know what's going on with this game.
Well, you know, it's funny because Indiana obviously has traditionally been a basketball school. Signetti has just turned this whole thing on its head. He's done such a good job coming in and breathing a breath of fresh air into this program. They've needed it too. I mean, they've been a perennial doormat in the Big Ten for so long. But it's really exciting. I like IU in this game. They've got some explosives on the outside with Cooper and Surratt. They're two wide receivers. Fernando Mendoza has been playing a very high level of quarterback play. At 7.5 is a big number. I know Oregon is at home. I know they've played well. They're coming off a big win. And both teams should be healthy, I think, coming off the bye week. But yeah, 7.5 is a lot for me. I like IU here.
Yeah, I'll kind of echo that. That's a tricky number. Oregon backers are going to want to grab it before it crosses 8 if they feel it's going to go that way. While the Indiana money is probably waiting for the line to drift into that 7 or 6.5 number. I think the total's probably split. I bet that people are 50-50 because 55.5, is that where we're sitting right now? 55.5? That's a pretty hefty number. But Oregon's they're explosive, and Josh mentioned two outstanding wide receivers on Indiana. Oregon's going to probably thrive on big game plays down the field. What we just kind of talked about, their running game has been kind of suspect. You look at Hill, Lamar, Whittington, Moore, Davison, Hughes is no longer with the program. None of them have had more than 40 carries on the season. So I think a lot of it is going to have to fall on Moore in that passing game. Well, what do you think?
I mean, I'll take the other side of this, I guess. I really don't have a dog in this fight. I don't think I'm going to bet it either way. Whatever action comes in against me, I will take it. But I think you give Dan Lanning a bye week to plan for a game like this against a top notch. I watched Indiana play. I'm sure Josh saw this game too. Indiana played Iowa, my Iowa Hawkeyes, just a couple of weeks ago. And Indiana looks like a fantastic team. They didn't step up to the level of, they kind of played to their level of competition against Iowa, it looked like, in my opinion. Whereas Iowa's a little down this year, but still, they look like a fantastic football team. Iowa does have a good defense, so we stopped them a little bit. Oregon, I think they even have a better defense. But back to my point of Dan Lanning, you give him a week off, man. He's going to come out with some stuff that the Hoosiers might not be ready for. So just to give the other side of that coin, because I know both of you sound like you're on Indiana, let me put it, are you going to be bet? Do you ever bet on your Indiana Hoosiers, Josh?
I mean, I dabble every now and again, but I'm laying it in this
You're
game for sure.
this game you lay,
Yep, for
are you gonna
sure.
lay it story too, or are you just giving your opinion on this one?
Just giving my opinion on this one. I don't care for that 7.5 number. I know it's at in Oregon, But those key numbers, they always scare me a little bit. Backdoor covers, I've had too many traumatic backdoor covers in my lifetime to try to figure these 7.5, 14.5 spreads out.
Yeah, you know Indiana's gonna be driving late in the game out there in Eugene. They're gonna be rocking. They're gonna get a pick six. Boom. Come on now. Oregon covers the spread easily, and Mr. Story loses his pocket change for the week. That would be very disappointing. But let's jump on to the next game. Oklahoma versus Texas. This one, what? Talk about another crazy flip. We're talking about one of the number six team in the nation is playing in this football game. It is not Texas. It is Oklahoma. Texas does not have a ranking next to their name anymore. And this is just crazy coming into the season. Who would have thought this? Yet here we are. We have Texas minus 1.5 to minus 2.5 in this football game. They are the favorite. Is your mind blown, Josh? I mean, what's going on with this?
Yeah, this one really stuck out to me too as I was prepping to come on here. I mean, obviously everything hinges on the health of Mateer, right? He has a broken bone in his throwing hand, sustained it against Auburn. I'm a little shocked that Texas is a favorite here. I mean, I know they're at home, but if I'm dabbling, I'm taking Oklahoma.
I am too. Hawkins looked very serviceable last week, but like Josh said, if Mateer's clear from this hand injury, then the offense opens back up for Oklahoma. Vertical shots, their tempo, their up pace, their RPOs, quarterback draws, they're all back in play. You know, Hawkins looked pretty good in the draws, but without him, it becomes a ground and pound clock team overnight. We saw with Blaylock the number of carries that he had upticked quite a bit last week. Frankly, I'm a little surprised that Texas got dropped out of the top 25. I guess two losses and looking very, very poor the last couple of weeks has the AP voters a little less than thrilled with their performances. But I would have thought the name value of Texas alone and Steve Sarkisian would have kept them at least in the top 25. But maybe I'm wrong on that, Walt.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. The problem is in my head, I'm thinking, you know, I understand my biases. So I'm thinking in my head, maybe I'm biased. So I'm thinking the same thing as you and thinking, well, it's not really the case. I just, you know, I like Texas. So I think they should be in the top 24. But that's my opinion. I don't think they deserve to have dropped out of the top 24. Now I'm going to go against you guys again. And I love it. I love this controversy we have here tonight because you got my Longhorns, you know, only given a point, giving 2 points against a number six team in the nation. Whenever, Mr. Story, you know this, whenever we see a ranked team, especially a number six team, next number six team in the nation against an unranked team, and that unranked team is the favorite, where does your money go, Mr. Story?
I mean,
As a sportsman.
generally goes to that dog, but I'm very concerned with how Arch Manning has progressed this year from odds on favorite to be drafted number one overall to out of the Heisman contention, basically within a month or two. It's very concerning. And the turnovers, my God, the turnovers have just been absolutely killing Texas here. I think they are -3 on turnover differential this year. And for a team like Texas with Steve Sarkisian at the helm, you would not expect a -3 week five after week five.
Well, you also have huge, I mean, penalties. Penalties is a huge problem over there. They're ranked 128th nationally in penalties, 76.6 penalty yards per game. And a lot of that was just from last week, man. They did not play disciplined football, which you brought up his name, Mr. Sark over there. He's coaching a football team. You kind of expect that he would have his football team down, disciplined, ready for things like that, not commit those penalties, not get those turnovers, because that's what a good coach does. But, you know, we haven't seen that throughout the season. I do think they're going to shut it down or strap it up a little bit more against this Oklahoma Sooners football team. Remember, this is the Red River rivalry. Rivalry game like this, you know, all bets are off. It's an even game. I just think Texas comes through with a win in this one. If I knew Mateer was not playing for sure, I would be hammering Texas right now. But no matter what news I see throughout the week, I don't have any confidence that's the truth. We're going to have to wait till game time to see who the shot caller is, who the man behind the center is throwing the football for Oklahoma over there. We could jump in another game, Big Ten game, going back to the Big Ten here. Michigan, number 15 team in the nation. Now, the other team I think might be a little overranked for what they've done through the season, but they are taking on USC this week at USC. So they have a chance to prove themselves. USC is the favorite. Again, we have an unranked team playing a ranked team as the favorite. I mean, it's just insane. These AP polls, they need to get rid of them or something. But USC is the favorite in this one, -2 to -3. What are you thinking, Josh?
Yeah, I went Oklahoma in this scenario in the previous game that we just analyzed. I'm taking USC here. I just I know Bryce Underwood's been fairly solid this year, especially as a freshman, a true freshman starting, but going on the road, hostile environment. Give me USC here.
Yeah, I want to disagree with this, but first of all, I'm not a Michigan fan in and of itself. I'm certainly not a USC fan. I don't particularly care for that coach, surprise, surprise. But I do want to give props to Justice Haynes. I said earlier that Ahmad Hardy might be the best running back in the NFL. I don't want to put any shade on Justice Haynes, who's been absolutely outstanding. 654 yards on the ground and 8 touchdowns this year. It looks like Michigan's getting a little healthy up front. They had some offensive line struggles and some tight end injuries that kind of gave them a little bit of trouble. I will say that Michigan's only loss on the season came from number six, Oklahoma. So something to bear in mind at that previous game that we talked about. This is a possession tug of war. I think you're going to get a lot of three and outs in this game. I know the over is 57 and a half, but I just see these teams, they're too smart to let each other just explode down the field. It's going to be longer drives. I hate to say it, but I'm probably taking the under in this game.
That's a little surprising to me. USC, I mean, they're pretty good on offense. I'm not saying they played the best competition in the world, but you're talking about in the passing game, 11 yards per pass. I should say per catch, because sometimes they're incomplete passes, which doesn't count in the stats. But then you're talking about rushing yards, 6.4 yards per catch. I mean, that's not bad for a football team. That's staying ahead of the sticks, as they like to say. That's a team that can produce on offense and keep the ball in position that helps them get their offense down the field. So I'm not sure about that under. I can't say I would take the over in this one, that's for sure. But I'm also not real sure about Michigan in this football game. I know we got a lot of people that like Michigan that listen to this podcast. I'm sorry, I don't think you're going to have that 15 ranking next week, because I do agree with Josh, with Mr. Story to some degree. USC, I think, gets this one done, especially at home. Now, if we're talking about this game at the Big House, flip what I said, because if the fans would come out, but that's not the case, right? They're not at home. They got to go into USC and they got to prove themselves on the road. I don't, after watching that Michigan Oklahoma game earlier in the year, I don't think they're going to get done against USC. I might actually, if I get it under the field goal, put some money on the Trojans in this football game because they are the home team, which leads us into our next segment. No segue here, Mr. Story. That's just coincidence. I'll call it coincidence. But story time, what topic do you have for us today for story time?
Well, I've been peppering it throughout the earlier part of the podcast. If anybody caught up on it, I'm going to talk about home field and travel impact. So sit down, folks. It's story time, home turf advantage. So this week's story time is all about home field and travel. Not just home field, but home field and travel, and why it can quietly influence how you bet and what you're looking at. Teams playing at home usually have a measurable edge. And we have talked about this in the past. It's that 2.5 to 3 point number. They've got familiar locker rooms, no long flights, crowd noise. Occasionally, you might look at and seeing the, I don't want to say anything, but, and I'm not saying that there's anything nefarious going on, but referees sometimes get influenced by the crowd in that. It all helps them execute better and better results, especially in those high pressure situations. Now, we talked about the Penn State whiteout last week, didn't actually come to fruition, but that's an example of a situation that is very familiar to Penn State. This doesn't mean that favorites win more or that underdogs at home can cover the spreads. They might struggle with on the road. You think about a 3 point home underdog versus a 7 point road underdog, and that home point advantage can be the difference between you winning your bet and you losing. Travel matters too, and we see this especially in other sports, but when you're talking about college football, we're talking about college students, student athletes to a lesser extent, teams crossing multiple time zones or coming off long road trips, they often start slow. Offenses misfire, communication on defense breaks down, turnovers spike. You see this most clearly in the first half betting, and especially those first half totals. A team that looks sharp at home might struggle on the road, which can push these totals lower or make the underdog a little more appealing early on. So we had talked about in-game betting in the past. These are opportunities for you to kind of find those edges in-game. Even subtle factors matter more. For instance, a West Coast team flying east for an early kickoff might lag in their timing and their tempo, while a home team can kind of dictate the pace there. Over a season, consistently factoring in home field advantage, home field factors, and a travel stress and travel stress gives you a small edge. It's one of those many, many edges that we look at when deciding what to bet, but it's persistent in both spreads and the total. So the quick takeaway is this: always check where the game is played and how far the team has traveled. Always look for homecoming games, those special games like the whiteouts we've seen. The edge might seem minor, but it can certainly qu swing closing bets and help you spot the value before the public catches on.
Let me ask you this question, Mr. Story. I heard what you said, And I don't disagree with a lot of what you said. I actually agree with it. But as far as something you mentioned that kind of threw me off, and you mentioned it there at the end, homecomings. It's something as a football fan. I mean, I'm a huge football fan, a college football fan. I couldn't tell you half the time when it's an actual homecoming for these football programs. This is the question I want to pose to you. Do you think homecoming is different for one team versus another? For example, let me tell you, Ohio State's playing, they have their homecoming. Now, let me tell you, a lesser-known team that might not sell out every week, this week happens to have their homecoming. Is that a different scenario, or is it the same thing in your opinion?
I certainly think it's a different scenario. A lot of it comes down to the traditions for those respective schools and those respective programs. We look at Iowa had their homecoming, was that 2 weeks ago, I believe, and they didn't look particularly sharp in that one. But those teams that have those special circumstances surrounding them, those special kind of traditions, I think there might be something to that. That should be the least thing you consider, but I think there is something to it. I'd love to see somebody dig into that a little deeper down the road. I'm not sure that Ozzy agrees with that though. She's been voicing her opinion on this since you brought it up. Homecomings there, Walt.
Well, you can't actually hear it over there on our side. So Zoom is doing a fantastic job of silencing her opinion. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Josh, when it comes to home field advantage, I know you're more of the fantasy guy than a betting guy, but hey, I'm guessing you lay down a buck or two every now and again. I mean, obviously you're paying attention to the home team. Are you putting a huge emphasis on the home team versus the away team in those games?
Yeah, I am. And again, I think Story hit the nail on the head. When you have a team that is traveling, cross country flights, now that the Big Ten is what it is, that you've got teams like Rutgers and Oregon on both sides of the country, I do take a look at that as I'm looking to throw down some hard-earned cash. It's definitely something that I take into account each and every week.
Me as well. And we all know the market takes into account, depending on the team, the circumstances, whatever, you get your difference between 1 to 3 points, depending. Sometimes 3.5. We were talking about it, I think, was it last week on the program? Oh, no, it was when Oregon was playing Penn State 2 weeks ago. We were talking about the factor of Penn State being home, but also having the home field advantage with that whiteout crowd at night, Mr. Story. And that's another factor to consider, I'm guessing, like you were just talking, in a football game for home field advantage.
Yeah, 100%. I'm those kinds of things are not lost on the betting public, certainly. And you have to figure that teams get up for the you, it's impossible to quantify something like motivation or excitement or whatever when it comes to teams. But it's a very real phenomenon when you see how things can change very quickly for a team in game, between games, day to day, etc. These kind of factors that are unquantifiable, they are important. You can't put them all into a model and a spreadsheet and make sure that you get this happens 58% of the time, so I'm going to bet it based on this value. But they have to be things that you consider when you're looking to place your bets. Even if it's something you might think is minor, these are still college students, and from day to day, things can change rapidly in college football. So I am paying attention to all that kind of stuff.
There you go. They are college students. Well spoken, my friend. I'd like to say I have some experience with college, but I don't remember it. So we'll go off of that. You know what? We're cruising through this episode. It's been fantastic. I love having Josh on here. I love getting this other voice, this other opinion, maybe to disagree with me from time or two, disagree with Story. It's been fantastic. But we got to put his feet to the fire now. We got the rundown pick 'em. Mr. Story, we mentioned earlier in the episode, we did not do great last week. I will say that. But throughout this year so far, we have been doing fantastic. I don't know. Should we let Josh go first, Mr. Story, or you want to jump in front of
Let's this. I'll jump in, and then we'll let Josh go, and then how about you close us out, Walt? Does that work for everybody?
Save the winner for last. I love it, Mr.
All
Story.
right. Yes, as you had mentioned previously, we had Mississippi State plus 14.5 last week. I thought that Texas A&M didn't deserve to be a 2-touchdown favorite. They proved me wrong on that. So we did take our first loss of the season. That is unfortunate. We're gonna bounce back. We're gonna look at an over. I'm looking back to my roots here. For my pick'em this week, I'm taking Alabama and Missouri over 51.5. Both these teams have been trending towards points lately. Alabama's offense has been very explosive in every quarter, and Missouri's defense has shown some cracks lately, especially giving up those big chunk plays. So with Jam Miller back, expect some fast drives, a few big shots downfield. I think Ty Simpson's going to connect downfield with Ryan Smith. This could push this total right over from the first half. So that's my take. Explosive offense, vulnerable defense. Let's hear what Josh is backing this week.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Arizona State at Utah. I really, really like Jordan Tyson. I don't know if enough people are talking about him. He's an explosive wide receiver for Arizona State. Sam Levitt's playing solid, but he's really playing well when he's throwing the ball to Jordan Tyson. He's got almost 500 yards of receiving. He already has 7 touchdowns, guys. I think he could be an outside Heisman candidate. I am all over him. I really, really like how he's playing. Give me Arizona State.
Arizona State plus six. I love it. Is that, I think that's the best line I'm seeing here. So we're going to give you that plus six. And I know this is kind of personal to you too, right? There's a little bit of love hate maybe in this game for the family.
There is, it's funny. Love my brother, love my niece dearly. She is a student at Utah, having a great time, loving every minute of the college life. I actually think that Jeremy might be going to this game. My brother, I hate to do it to you, brother, but I gotta pick ASU here.
I love it. I love it. I got to put it. You're putting it as your pick'em. That means I got to lay some money. So I am going to lay some money against my Utes, but I don't mind it in the circumstance because they have not been playing great football. Mr. Story, I have a question for you. What was the best line? Obviously, the lowest number you saw for that total on Alabama.
51.5 at -108 on DraftKings as we speak.
So we're over 51 and a half. You know, Mr. Story is getting the best book for that one. So if you want the over, go over there. Actually, check your book because it could move. You know,
It
it
could
moves.
move. Yeah,
Yeah,
check your book for
it moves
sure.
on all the books, so make sure you check it before you put that one. I'm just writing it down here so I know where to put all my money this weekend. As far as my pick, Texas Tech, baby, -14. I am not a Texas Tech fan. I do not like them. I do not like the fact that I lost a lot of money last week when Houston just could not show up. It wasn't because Houston couldn't show up. It's because this Texas Tech team is fantastic. I'm looking for them to make the playoffs. I'm looking for them maybe to do more after watching that game against Houston. Man, do they look good. They got money in that program. They were talking about it all throughout. They got players brought in. They just planned. I mean, this is just a great story of an athletic department changing that program around quick. So I like this game. Texas Tech, the best line I'm seeing right now is -14, which, you know, I don't really like to lay that much on a game. I usually like to do the dogs, but I think they're a fantastic football team. Has anybody got a chance to watch this Red Raider football team throughout the season?
I've got Jacoby, what's his name, on my fantasy team. I'm one of my fantasy teams. Yeah, so I've watched quite a bit of this team. Jacoby Williams, the running back for Texas Tech. You hit the nail on the head. I was surprised at how much money they spent this offseason.
Hey, when you got billionaires in your side, hey, they got money to burn and they like their football teams. Hey, if I was a billionaire, I would be a real good team. I can tell you that much. Josh, I appreciate you coming on this program, and that was fantastic. I think we cruised right through everything. I think we gave the people some good information. I hope we have a good week here. I hope Arizona State can cover. You're going to put some real money on this one, right, sir?
Absolutely.
I love it. That's what I like to hear. Again, I appreciate you coming on the program. Josh, Mr. Story, you know we always appreciate you here. I'm going to sign off. Until next week, stay sharp, sports bettors.